Good morning, and welcome to the Word of Grace broadcast ministry brought to you by St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, Quebec. The first broadcast of the Word of Grace took place on January 28, 1969, with the founding minister, the Reverend Donald Campbell. We are now entering into our 51st year. We are grateful to God for the comfort and inspiration which so many have received from the broadcast over the years. Financial support for our radio ministry comes from listeners throughout the Eastern Townships and beyond. We are grateful for the faithful support we have received. It is especially helpful to receive donations over the course of the year. Memorial donations given in memory of deceased relatives and friends may be made at any time. Our prayerful hope and expectation is that the broadcast will continue to be heard well into the future. Our mailing address is The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. Remember also that you can access the program at any time on the website of CJMQ, www.cjmq.fm.
Today is the 18th of February, 2024, and once more I welcome you to the broadcast of the Word of Grace on CJMQ. Today is the first Sunday in Lent, and so we are in the countdown towards Easter, which this year is on the 31st of March. My name is Nigel Parker, Minister of the Congregation of St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church, Sherbrooke, and we're pleased to bring you this broadcast on CJMQ. As ever, you'd be very welcome to join with us in person on Sunday mornings at 10:30 at 256 Rue Queen Street in Lennoxville, or online through Facebook or YouTube. But certainly we encourage you to find your way to a fellowship where you can hear the good news about Jesus and be of service to the kingdom of God. Here are words from Psalm 25. In you, Lord my God, I put my trust. I trust in you. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. Do not remember the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me. For you, Lord, are good.
Make a joyful noise, all the earth.
Of endless years.
sing our song. Oh yeah.
Let us pray. God leads the humble in what is right, and teaches the humble God's way. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep God's covenant. Lord God, faithful in your love, we come before you as we are, to worship you at the start of Lent. We come before you as we are, to hear what you have to say about our human journey. We come before you as we are, to seek your help and strength for the week ahead and for every week, through Jesus Christ our friend. Good and gracious God, creator of earth and sky, maker of rainbows and raindrops, we praise you for the beauty of the world around us, and for the hope of life with you now and always. We praise you for your faithfulness and loving kindness throughout all generations, for your promise of grace, your compassion and redemption, wonderfully revealed to us in your Son, Jesus Christ. Receive our prayers and praises this day, and teach us how to live by your love. Lord our God, your eyes are pure, and they see all our wrongdoings. You know our sins, to ourselves in ignorance, to others in willfulness, and by our selfish and faithless ways we have grieved your Holy Spirit, and so we plead with you. Wise and merciful God, you made a covenant with us in faithfulness, but we confess that we're not always so faithful to you. We grow tired and restless when things don't go our way. We lose patience with others. We lack compassion for our neighbours in need and forget to express love for those closest to us. Forgive us. Hear the word of grace. Scripture says, "You know that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forebears, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish." Thanks be to God for this grace. Lord, grant to us grace as we enter into this season of Lent, as a people who want to separate themselves to you, that we may live through these days in love and fervour, which no trouble may disturb. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns together with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, for ever and ever. Amen.
Thank you.
From Mark's Gospel, chapter 1 at verse 9, we read of Jesus' baptism, followed by his temptation. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." At once the Spirit sent him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and angels attended him. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." Amen. Last Wednesday, Ash Wednesday, we began our 40-day journey known as Lent. The reason Lent is 40 days is because it is deliberately recalling a number of Bible stories and symbolically placing us into those stories. And the two most obvious are the 40 years that the Hebrews spent trekking through the wilderness before they entered the Promised Land, and the story we heard in the reading from Mark's Gospel today, Jesus spending 40 days in the wilderness before the commencement of his public ministry. We are looking in our midweek fellowship at St. Andrew's at Mark's Gospel. We're charging through at 100 kilometres or more an hour to get through 16 chapters in 12 weeks. And we find that there is a lot, indeed 99% of Mark's Gospel, that's in the other Gospels. But there are bits in Mark that aren't in the other Gospels. And that's true of the temptations of Jesus. Firstly, Mark's Gospel favourite word is straight away, immediately, at once, as soon as. The story in Mark runs from one incident to another, bang, bang, bang. And that's true of Mark's version of the temptation story. It's very brief. Matthew and Luke give much more detailed accounts of the confrontation between Jesus and the Satan. But it was immediately, straight away, as soon as Jesus was baptized, that he went to the place of temptation. Christ's temptation immediately followed his baptism. We can expect major decisions for God and major acts of obedience on our part to be met with great opposition by the accuser. Temptation itself is no sign that God is not pleased with us. Jesus was greatly tempted immediately, as soon as, straight away, following the Father's affirmative words, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Secondly, we read that after his baptism, Mark simply says that the Spirit drove Jesus into the desert, and he remained there for 40 days and was put to the test by Satan. The word for drove is a strong word. Jesus was thrown out into the wilderness. And for Jesus, temptation is part of God's design for us. The Spirit drove him to it. Christ was driven towards temptation, not away from it. And while it was the accuser that did the tempting, and you can read about that in the book of James chapter 1, it's clearly God who overruled the process. And this should make God's promise to find a way of escape even more real to us. No wonder we pray, "Do not bring us to the time of trial. Do not lead us into temptation." And yet that may indeed be the will of God. But it's our prayer of resistance that strengthens us in our resistance. And thirdly, the story tells us that we're never alone when we're tempted. Christ was in the wilderness and with the wild beasts, but angels ministered to him. Now, neither Mark nor Matthew tell us exactly how this angelic ministry worked, but we're told elsewhere that angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those who will inherit salvation. That's a quotation from the letter to the Hebrews. But God not only overrules temptation, but also appears to be actively involved in helping us get through it by means of his angelic hosts, and especially the Holy Spirit, who leads and directs us. Now, although Mark doesn't describe the specific nature of this testing or temptation, we get an interesting clue by looking more widely at Mark's gospel. Because the word that Mark uses for tempting or testing here is a word he uses only three other times in his gospel. And all three of them are used of the devoutly religious Pharisees when they ask him questions to try and trip him up and catch him out. And each time, either the gospel writer tells us that they were putting Jesus to the test, or tempting him, or else Jesus himself says, "Why are you trying to put me to the test?" Jesus' times of testing seem to mostly occur in the religious places, in the synagogues or the temple. Some of our biggest temptations are faced in the church. Oh, I don't mean running off with the priest or the church secretary or the organist or the church officer, or absconding with the church funds, though that's clearly an issue for some. But there are special temptations in the church, aren't there? There's a temptation of success over faithfulness. We like to boast about more butts in the pews, more bucks in the offering plates, and a constant series of building additions or renovations. Or maybe we tend to favour copying over creating, that if we just do what the successful church down the road is doing, we'll be successful as well. Should we remove our pews, add a coffee bar, put up a new sign, improve our audiovisual capabilities? Someone else's practices may seem harmless, and in many cases it's appropriate. Hospitality works in so many contexts. But copying over creating? That's a temptation. But then we can also prioritize crowds over discipleship. It's easy to gather a crowd, perhaps, to entertain people, to amuse people with something. But the temptation is to do that over making disciples. The temptation for all of us in a secular age, Christian and non-Christian alike, is the sidelining of God. The Gospel Coalition writes, "The more we push God to the periphery, the more we take centre stage. It's our activity that matters, our goals and aspirations, our strategies, our techniques, our purposes, our plans. We lose eternal perspective because the Eternal One plays only a supporting role. And thus the things we think are most important in life are never shown up as the nothings they are. And the one who is everything remains hidden." The sidelining of God. Surely that is the great temptation of our times. Let us pray. We give you all thanks and praise, our loving God, for in tenderness and faithful love you forgive our sins and guide us when we stray. In ancient times the story is told of a flood that destroyed the world you had created, yet you saved Noah, a righteous man, and his family from the waters and made a covenant with them and with every living creature for all time. But in later times, your son Jesus came forth from the waters of baptism, and after proving himself in the wilderness where waves of temptation threatened to engulf him, he began proclaiming the good news of your kingdom, calling people to repent and to believe in the gospel. He was cast down to the land of the dead, where he preached even to those lost in the flood, but you raised him to new life and seated him at your side. to reign over every authority and power forever. And so we offer you thanks and praise, our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We reflect upon our journeys and the journeys of others and collect our thoughts before you. We pray for those in leadership, that they may bless the life and peace of the nations, our common life here in our communities, and especially the lives of the poor. We pray the hungry might be fed in body, mind, and spirit, and the thirsty be satisfied, and that you, our God, will hear the cry of those who long for justice. We pray for those we meet each day, at work or in the street, online or in person, at home or on the phone. We pray for those who teach in college and school, in church and community, praying that knowledge may build up and not puff up, and that wisdom might guide the feet of all who walk in our world. We pray for those with prophetic gifting, that they hear rightly and share rightly, and that they may have a wise community to assess what they say. And we pray for the pastors and elders of the churches and congregations that we know, that whatever their role or status or function or title, they may serve with unity, with love, and with joy. And we bring to you our own prayers for ourselves. Give us grace to resist temptation this Lent and at all times, that we may grow up in faith, renew our hope, and open our hearts to your deep, deep love. And hear us now as further we pray together in the words Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.
Jesus, keep me near the cross, there a precious fountain, free to all a healing stream, flows from Calvary's mountain.
In the cross, leave my glory ever, till my
You've been listening to the Word of Grace broadcast ministry, brought to you each Sunday at this time by St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, Quebec. Our church is located on Queen Street in Lennoxville. We have a strong tradition of service in this area. We continue to work for the advancement of Christ's kingdom. We honor the past and welcome the future by being faithful in the present. I encourage you to worship in a church of your choice, a place where you can grow in your faith and actively serve in the cause of Christ. Our prayer is that each church in our community will be blessed as we are faithful to God. Please consider supporting our broadcast with a financial donation. We rely upon your support. Tax receipts are issued for contributions. Our mailing address is The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec. The postal code is J1M1Z6. The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. Bye for now. Thanks for listening, and may God's blessing be with each one of us.